This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 36, Ong Bak, Muay Thai Warrior. So yeah, this is an incredible Thai action film starring the incomparable ass-kicking martial artist Tony Jaa. Jaa rules. All praise Jaa.
No, I mean
forever loving Jaa.
This man is Bob Marley. This man is a human special effect.
He's incredible.
What he can do with his body is incomparable.
Yeah.
So,
and we should discuss how you came to see this because it's kind of an interesting story. Yeah. You were in New York City.
Well, I mean, before that, I mean, it's a two-part story because basically, I mean, I can't remember the year it was released, but I guess it must have been somewhere in the early part of the millennium, right?
Yeah, 2003
and,
or something.
Yeah, and I was, I kept hearing about this movie, Ong Bak, and this guy, Tony Jaa, who was like the second coming of Bruce Lee, but even more kick-ass. And I, at the time, I mean, to this day, I mean, it remains the same. I mean, I was always scouring whatever outlet I could find for certain movies that I've heard about, right? And a lot of times what I would do is I would even go to, like, you know, Chinatown or something, and I would get not DVDs, not Blu-rays, but VCDs, right?
Do you know VCDs?
Yeah. Like, they're almost like burnt DVDs that they would sell. But anyway,
In Toronto's Chinatown, there was this mall, I think called the Dragon something or other, Dragon, what was it called?
I don't know, Pearl Dragon or something.
Yeah, and this was the place where you can get cheap smokes, cheap movies, everything basically knockoff.
Cheap food, yeah.
And you probably still can, although we don't want to, you know, libel this upstanding mall.
So I'd always be looking for, like, these movies. So I'd, like, for example, Ichi the Killer, we talked about that on the Gorecast. I kept going, you know, and Battle Royale was another one. I kept, you know, looking for these VCDs of these Asian films I heard about that I really, really want to see. How did I hear about these movies? I don't know.
Yeah.
Somehow through the ether, I would hear about them, or like if someone would tell me about them. Now, Ong Bak was a movie that I heard about as being like, this is like the most kick-ass action film ever made.
Yeah.
And I would go to these outlets, and I couldn't find the movie. Well, you know, so I decided I'm going to watch Ong Bak, and because I want to watch Ong Bak so badly, I'm going to fly to Thailand just to see it. I actually went to Thailand. I mean, I've been there twice. But this is my first visit to the Land of Smiles, and I went to Thailand in the early 2000s, and it was my first time in Thailand. You've been there as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Amazing place.
Amazing,
absolutely incredible. And when I was there, you know, I was on a hunt. I really wanted to see. I wanted to find Ong Bak, and I wanted to purchase it. But it was actually, I mean, it was still running theatrically. So I went to a cinema in Bangkok, and I paid my money, and I went, and I sat down, and I saw the movie. Now, I gotta tell you,
no subtitles.
Absolutely no subtitles whatsoever. It's funny, because I remember,
and short of, you know, Kup Kum Kup, or whatever, your Thai was, you know, hello, how are you? That's
exactly
the extent of
exactly
it. Yeah.
I mean, there are some other movies I saw when I was in Thailand the first time around. I saw the god-awful third Matrix sequel, you know, Matrix Rebel, whatever the hell it was called.
Yeah, whatever.
It was the worst thing ever. There were subtitles. It was terrible. I remember.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so I'm sitting there in this Thai theater, and I'm watching Ong Bak, and again, no subtitles. I didn't fucking need it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we will discuss the movie.
Discuss the plot.
And the
pretty
plot paper
is thin, yeah.
But I mean, the reality is, I'm watching this movie, and my jaw is on the fucking floor, because, I mean, I'm seeing this guy, Tony Jaa, doing the most incredible things with his body, like the most acrobatic leaps, and, you know, I mean, Before that, I mean, I was a huge admirer of Jackie Chan, right?
Yeah.
And all the stuff he would do without a benefit of a stuntman. And then
yeah, and wires and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm watching this movie. I'm just like, what the hell? This is absolutely incredible. So I was just amazed to see this movie. And without the benefit of subtitles, I had an incredible experience watching it. I even then managed to purchase a VCD of Ong Bak, bring it home. I still have it to this day.
Yeah.
But there were no subtitles, yet again. So, you know, that was my experience with Ong Bak, no subtitles. Now, flash forward number of years, I'm in New York City. I'm in Harlem.
Yeah.
Harlem, you know, and I'm actually, the reason why I went to Harlem was because I wanted to see the fabled Apollo Theater.
Yeah, Harlem, of course, you know, famous. It was for being the hub of the Black Renaissance. This is like every musician worth his salt would play there. It's mm-hmm. really an incredible, incredible place.
Yeah,
it's the hub of African American culture. You have to go there if you ever get a chance.
Right, and I mean there was a famed cotton club in Harlem.
Yeah,
and of course, and the Apollo. I mean, mm-hmm. one of my favorite James Brown records is yeah. Live at the Apollo. So. Yeah, I love New York City. It's mm-hmm. one of my absolute favorite cities. I try and go there at least once a year. And so I went to Harlem, and it was a sweltering August day. It was really, really fucking... It gets hot in New York.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking down the streets of Harlem, heading towards the Apollo, there was a vendor who was selling a whole bunch of bootleg DVDs.
Yeah, it's always the case in the Bronx and Brooklyn. There's guys who set up a table, mm-hmm. and they got a tablecloth.
Well, yeah, there was no table. It was just a cloth on the sidewalk. Yeah. A
bunch of just bootleg shit.
Right,
amazing.
Right. So I managed to pick up Abby, which we've reviewed on the site.
That yeah, was a Exorcist ripoff.
A black exploitation Exorcist yeah. ripoff. I picked up Santo versus Frankenstein. a couple other films. I can't remember. Tiny Hercules. I picked yeah. up that which I also reviewed on the site, mm-hmm. and starring the incomparable Bolo Young.
Yeah.
And the other one, I have the DVD right in front of me, direct from Harlem, Ong Bak, Thai Warrior.
Oh, okay, yeah. Known mostly as, you know, more commonly as Muay Thai Warrior,
but yeah.
Either way.
So this is my bootleg copy of Ong Bak, Thai Warrior, and I'm just going to read the back of it. I'm not going to read the whole back. I mean, there's a whole synopsis here, but... No computer graphic can ever surpass what a real human body can do.
Mm-hmm.
And what the body can do is on spectacular display in Ong Bak, a Thai action movie starring the lithe and flexible Tony Jaa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, Tony Jaa, he's bloody amazing.
Right.
He's got training in Taekwondo, so he's got these incredible spin kicks. He's got Muay Thai experience, too. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, he was a semi-pro fighter at one point. This guy's super athletic. He's charismatic. He can kick butt like nobody's mm-hmm. business. Like, forget the glacial Steven Seagal. It's like, you know, a postal worker, you know, slow, lumbering mm-hmm. moves. This guy is fucking flying all
right.
over the place.
So before we get into the actual film, I just want to say, like, as you see my DVD right there, what does it say right there in the corner, Chris? Read that for me.
Yeah, the English language version.
You got it, right there on the cover.
Yeah.
So, finally, I got to see Ong Bak with subtitles,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to actually understand the plot, although it didn't really matter, because I knew the plot, even without subtitles. So, plot is negligible. Tell us about the plot of Ong Bak.
Well, it starts off in rural Thailand, and Thailand, for those of you who don't know, again, it's like many countries where there's a rural-urban divide, and I'm thinking the U.S., you know, the Yankees, the rebels in the South. Mm-hmm. You got and you got these people who are perceived as hicks who live in the South, and in Germany you got people who speak with a Bavarian accent and wear lederhosen, and they're perceived as hicks. Every country has rural-urban divide, and Thailand is no different. So in the far reaches of rural Thailand there's this podunk little village, and they entertain themselves because nothing else to do. I don't know if they're on the Burmese border or in the middle of nowhere. They play Capture the Flag, although this isn't any ordinary Capture the Flag. They play it in treetops, and the object of the game is to capture the flag and shove your opponents out of the way, and by any means necessary. So these guys...
off the tree.
Off the tree. Yeah. These guys are falling like 10 meters from this tree and landing quite heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And the champion of this game of Capture the Flag is the village ass-kicking martial artist. And his name is Ting. And he emerges victorious, and he's lauded and celebrated by these villagers. He's the toughest guy in the village, bar none. Now, this village has a Buddhist statue.
Well, as most
as every Thai village worth its salt. Like, yeah,
you go. It's a Buddhist country.
It's
yeah,
it's a Buddhist country, and some goons make off with the head of one of the statues. Mm-hmm.
Which is extremely sacrilegious.
Yeah, it reminds me of this is ridiculous as well, like Springfield, where Bart, the Jebediah Springfield and Bart and his cronies, they saw the head off, and you know, and the whole town is just aghast. Well, right. Again, this as well, the townsfolk, the villagers are just, they're despondent. Mm-hmm. They're just, they're beside themselves because this Buddhist statue is gone,
desecrated.
And it's desecrated, yeah. And this is totemic. This is so important to them. So they get this Ting, played by Tony Jaa, to find out who stole this Buddha statue and bring it back to them if possible. And they, it's like in church, they pass around the collection plate. These guys these are poor villagers in rural Thailand. They are collecting bots for the currency of Thailand and giving him all this money so he can pay for his room and board and his food and his travels
to go to the
main streets of the capital city of Bangkok.
Right. And just a word about Bangkok. I mean, you know, it's that great song, One Night in Bangkok.
One Night in Bangkok, yeah. Makes a grown man humble.
One night in Bangkok. It's true. I mean, Bangkok is a city to behold. I mean, mm-hmm. I adore Bangkok. However, I've been to Thailand twice. The first time I went to Thailand, I couldn't take Bangkok. Bangkok was like sensory overload. I mean, between the humidity, the oppressive smells, you know.
Yeah, the incredible lack of sidewalks, the people, street vendors, it's endless, like 9 million people crammed into this tiny area.
And everywhere you go, it's like sensory overload. And for a Westerner, it's just like, you feel like you're being ripped apart in a million pieces, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I really struggle against Bangkok. It's a really, really rough, it's a rough city, but it's also an incredibly vibrant, amazing city. And then when I went there for the second time, I just relaxed into Bangkok. I love Bangkok.
Oh, yeah.
Because Bangkok is a city where
anything goes, for better or for worse.
You know, anything you want, you can get into Bangkok.
Yeah.
And there's that feeling of liberation. Like, I mean, Bangkok is, there's nothing you can compare to Bangkok. You know what I mean?
A traffic jam in Bangkok, forget, you know, being stuck in midtown Manhattan at 6 o'clock, you know, rush hour. It's Bangkok, you're going to be stuck between taxis, tuk-tuks, and limbless beggars and walkers. Yeah. And
there's even what I call human gridlock. Just walking down the street. You're like at a standstill because there's so many people, right? No, in Bangkok, if you tell someone, okay, I'll meet you in half an hour,
It'll be 2 hours. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, it's insane. Like, it's intoxicating because there's...
It's incredible. I had the luxury of being able to stay in a condo building on Sukhumvit Road, which is one of the big thoroughfares in Bangkok. It's similar to the most famously Koh San Road, which is where all the backpackers hang out.
Yeah.
And Koh San Road was prominently featured in Ong Bak. And, well, much of the cityscape of incredible, incomparable Bangkok is featured in this movie. So, again, we've got Ting, who heads to the mean streets. And he's a hick, he's a bumpkin, but he has a contact in Bangkok, downtown, whose name is Hum Lai, but he goes by George because Hum Lai is kind of an embarrassing, kind of hick name, and he speaks with a hick accent. He's trying to distance himself from the rural, you know, from his rural origins. So he's a kind of a grifter, and he earns his money by ripping off gamblers in these underground baccarat, you know, poker tournaments. So he's kind of a low life, but he's the guy who's Ting's in to Bangkok. Ting doesn't know shit about Bangkok.
I can make a little bit aside about Bangkok yet again. I mean, Thailand is a Buddhist country, right? Mm-hmm. Buddhists live by certain precepts, right? One of the precepts is, you know, you cannot steal, right?
Yeah.
But you know, in their interpretation of stealing, that does not include scamming or ripping off. So there's a lot of scam artists in Bangkok, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was taken in Bangkok. I don't know if you were taken.
Everyone is taken.
Everyone's been taken,
whether it's being coerced, cajoled into buying a suit, or whether whether you're taken on some wild tuk-tuk ride that costs you triple the amount you thought it would.
Yeah.
Or paying, you know, quadruple the amount of a cover for a Muay Thai fight. Bangkok is a city of hustlers.
Or a ping pong show.
Yeah. it's incredible.
Ooh.
This guy, you know, this cousin, he's a sleazebag, and he by no means wants to help his you know, kin, his blood, Ting. He steals from him right off the bat. Just makes off with a bunch of his $1,000 baht that the villagers raised for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally...
I was just saying, by the way, 1,000 baht.
Or yeah. Several thousand baht,
okay,
yeah. 3,000 baht is like,
but just,
you know,
give a little
4
context,
bucks.
A thousand baht is $33.
Okay, yeah.
Canadian. So that's not that much money.
No.
However, you know, so 3,000 baht would be about $100 Canadian.
Yeah.
However, you know, it's...
He's not staying in the Shangri-La, you know, Four Seasons, Bangkok. He's staying in these dumps. He's staying with his cousin. And, well, until he robbed him, he tries to track him down. And he's aghast that his family, his blood, his kin, his flesh and blood would rob, steal from him. He tracks him down and figures out that this guy, Hum Lai, he's a grifter, he's a scam artist. He owes money to this gangster.
Mm.
And that's where we get into this incredible, incredible chase scene where these 20 goons, you know, find Hum Lai and try and shake him down for his money. And at this point, I guess Ting starts to feel like, okay, I'm going to let bygones be bygones. I know this guy stole from me, but we're still blood.
Mm.
We're still family. I got to fight for him. And he beats up some of the henchmen of this guy who's trying to get his money. But... again, 20 or 30 goons chase this duo through the streets of Bangkok. And this is, without a doubt, no word of hyperbole, the greatest foot chase I've ever seen.
Indeed.
And this showcases Tony Jaa's just incredible nimbleness, live,
athletic,
balletic,
yep.
Incredible spins and twists. He at varying points through the chase scene, he leaps over some street vendors who have got woks and are you know, cooking up various you know, treats on the streets.
One of the greatest things about Bangkok.
Street fair. And
yep.
He jumps over some of the goons by leaping over their shoulder in free flight.
Mm-hmm.
He just is. Feet touch their shoulders, and he leaps over like six of these guys at a time. He leaps over cars in a single bound. This guy is phenomenal.
But the most incredible.
Yeah. He leaps through these guys who are transporting some barbed wire, and it's coiled, so it's in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
He leaps through this thing. It's a meter wide coil of barbed wire without unscathed. He is amazing, amazing, amazing. And so I guess, he throws a beating to some of these, you know, goons. He escapes. And his cousin, his sleazy cousin, takes him to this nightclub / pit fighting arena. And he says, oh, I'll promise you to, you know, show you some leads and, you know, show you where the drug dealers are, show you where the criminals are and who would most likely know where the head of the Buddha is. And I guess at this point we should say that there's a gangster who oversees, I think he runs this pit fighting club, and this guy smokes cigarettes through a hole in his larynx, because he's got a larynx, like a... an automatic or robotic...
Voice
larynx, because the guy's got lung cancer. He's got this hole. So he smokes through the hole in his neck, and he runs this pit-fighting underground club a la the
Bloodsport or something.
Bloodsport, yeah. Speaking of Bolo Young there.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy, he's a pretty freaky gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's in some way involved. And we find out later that he is actually involved in stealing valuable national treasures, such as this ancient Buddha statue and selling them on the black market. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Hom Lai, this cousin, he brings his ass-kicking, Muay Thai-fighting hick cousin into the big city and into this pit-fighting locale. And he ends up, you know, because he's involved in betting as well on the side with these sleazy bets with these fighters. And, of course, this guy, yeah, I mean, King, kicks ass.
Yeah, yeah.
As he's established. And he is brought right into the center of this pit fighting, and he has to fight for his life. Yeah, he fights a guy. He fights two guys, two white guys, who are giant white guys. One guy is Big Bear, mm-hmm. and the other guy is Pearl Harbor. One of them has sort of Kenny G curly locks, but he's about 6'8". This guy is a giant menace, and he just headbutts and destroys every tie or every fighter in his path. He just kills them. And Tony Jaa, Ting, comes in there, just wipes the floor with these guys. And
he's not a big guy, he's a small
guy. No, he's probably like 5'7", like 140 pounds.
Lithe,
yeah, incredible. And he's got some amazing moves where I think in the Muay Thai fighting, it's something to do with elephant. You know, it's like Kung Fu with Tiger style and whatever. But he's got elephant style and all these different animal-inspired martial arts moves. One of which is dropping both elbows on the top of the skull of your opponent. And he does this with incredible efficiency.
It's funny you mentioned bets, though, because, I mean, I remember
we've both seen Muay Thai fights in Thailand.
Right, and
the betting is crazy. Oh, like, oh, my God.
You're just throwing bots down.
Like, yeah. And the country, you know, Muay Thai is its national sport. It's an incredible thing to see live if you ever get a chance. But let's be honest, not the most above-board sport you'll ever see. It's like boxing on these shores or UFC even. It's been corrupted by, as has sumo wrestling, the mob, the underground economy. There's guys who are clearly taking dives, and Muay Thai is no exception. So you got this as the backdrop for this incredible movie. So, you know, Ting is fighting off these guys, and meanwhile trying to do detective work, trying to find leads to figure out who has accessed this, you know, coveted, important Buddhist statue. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing movie.
Yeah.
It's incredible ass-kicking.
So, yeah, I mean, then again...
That's the plot right there.
So there you go. I mean, the plot is secondary. What's primary is the incredible ass-kicking, i.e. the athletic prowess of Tony Jaa, you know, escaping these, predicaments and so on and so forth. It's just unbelievable. I mean, with all due respect to your greats, your Jackie Chan's or Bruce Lee's... Jet Li, what have you. I mean, Tony Jaa is...
Jean-Claude. Jean-Claude,
the muscles from Brussels.
I guess he's a former kickboxing champion. I had the pleasure of reading Chuck Zito's biography recently. It's called Street Justice. And Chuck Zito, of course, is known to be the head of the Nomads chapter of the New York City Hells Angels. Of course, he was also the star of Oz, which is a prison drama. And he played Chucky Pancamo. And he discloses that, this is an aside, forgive us here, he discloses in his book that there's a strip club that he used to frequent that Howard Stern is a big fan of called Scores. I had an opportunity to go there in New York City.
By the way, the strip clubs here in Toronto are way better.
Way better. And Niagara Falls, too. Like, Canadian strip clubs, you know, par excellence, they trump all American strip clubs. Mm-hmm. But, again, the Muscles from Brussels was holding court in Scores. And he was having a couple lap dances, and he at one point he had been drinking, and Chuck Zito alleges that he said that he had no heart, and so of course Chucky wanted to get to the bottom of this, and he had a friend who worked at Scores, the doorman confirmed
Van Damme said
Chucky had no heart.
Okay.
So Chucky didn't take kindly to this. He's a patched member of the Hell's Angels, so again, you know, we have nothing, you know, we don't want to besmirch his reputation. He's an upstanding guy in our book, and we love him, and if he wants to come on our podcast, we'd be happy to have him. Anyway, he overhears that, you know, Jean-Claude said he had no heart, and he slapped the guy. He first confronted him, and then he smacked him, and bouncers and friends at the club, I think one of whom was Mickey Rourke, if I'm not mistaken, had to pull Chuck Zito off Van Damme while he was punching him. So, just pretty cool. But anyway, digression here.
As far as, like, the muscle and bristle goes, I mean, you put Tony Jaa versus, in a pit versus Van Damme, I mean, fucking Van Damme is going to be getting some Van Damme.
Yeah.
He's going to be destroyed. I mean,
this is true. And the Ong Bak DVD. No, the one I have. I don't know about your odd bootlegged Harlem 115th Street copy, but
$3 US. Yeah. Awesome. Yep.
But the copy I purchased, Tony Jaa is at the premiere of a Parisian screening, and he's doing many of the moves that he did in the film, and including leaping upon the shoulders of some of the henchmen who were sent out to beat his ass. So this guy, he actually did, in barefoot, leap onto the shoulders of 4 to 5 guys and jump right over them. And he's a human, a stunt dynamo. Yeah. He's an incredible, incredible performer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this movie went on to spawn several sequels none of which I've seen, but I don't want to taint my appreciation for this movie. So,
well, Tony Jaa also made another great film called The Protector, and that was as well. But there was Ong Bak 2, and I believe that was a prequel. I also have not seen it.
And there was a third as well.
Come to think of it, I did purchase it in Harlem. I haven't. I've yet to watch it, but anyway.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, across from 110th Street.
Bobby across Womack. Across 110th Street. From Bangkok, the Sin City of Asia, to the Big Apple. New York City, Harlem, to Toronto. We're in Toronto.
I just want to give a shout out. I want to give a shout out to our friends, Noel.
Yeah, I know my buddy Noel. I'm just excuse the plug. I'm the co-author of, and I urge everyone to pick it up. This is the Darwin Awards for Drunks. This is a nonfiction humor book, The Man Who Scared a Shark to Death and Other True Tales of Drunken Debauchery. So please pick that up. It's available at Amazon and Chapters and Barnes & Noble, all your better bookstores and all your shittier bookstores. But our buddy Noel works for the UN Bangkok.
He resides in Bangkok, so is our buddy Brian.
Yeah, we have lots of teacher, journalist friends in Thailand. We love the country a lot. It's incredible. So a shout-out to them. To Thailand and a couple of local Toronto video stores, 2Q Video and Suspect Video in Lewis. And for everyone who resides, obviously, outside of North America, wherever you may live, like, you can pick up rare B-movies, prison films, rare horror, anything. You name it, Italian gore, any sort of genre film you can pick up from Suspect Video.
Porn.
Yeah.
Grindhouse, fucking you name it, man. It's what a great repository we have there. I mean,
we're blessed to have these guys, be so close to us. So anyway, check out our site as well, www.reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sawadee kap.
Sawadee kap.